Welcome to the Huddle's Huddle Up Podcast, a special for Super Bowl 53. I'm Ryan Bonini, leading the way with my partner in crime, Corey Bonini, no relation at all. Welcome, Corey. You excited for the big game?
Yeah, I mean, I guess as I can be for seeing the Patriots for like the 400th year in a row.
And what's wrong with that?
I mean, look, I admire greatness when I see it, but at some point it'd be nice to just see a little variation.
Jealousy. Enjoy it.
And something tells me I've seen this Patriots-Rams thing before, too.
Yeah, maybe 17 years ago to the day, I believe. Something like that. Anyway, enjoy it. We're not going to see anything like this again in the future. I'm tired of everybody just being, oh, Brady, Belichick, boo-hoo-hoo. This is history in the making. Sit back, take in the bigger picture and say, you know what? This is beautiful. But well, besides that,
I kind of view it like how people were complaining about the overtime rules in the AFC Championship game where Mahomes didn't get his shot at it. And my response is always, your defense had a chance to stop Brady and get the ball back and you didn't. That's kind of in a way how I feel about the Patriots machine. It's like, if you do truly want to see a different team in there, stop them. You have to find a way to... It's not like they're doing something brand new that we've never seen before, where they're doing the exact same thing they've done for almost two decades.
They're not going to show up and be some totally different Patriots team. You hit the nail on the head with that one. But you're right. And overtime, you had four quarters before that to really make your mark on the game. If you can't do it plus overtime, so sorry.
Well, what makes them so difficult to stop, though, is the in-game adjustments, because they come into the game as one team. And in the second half, or even from quarter to quarter, they might be an entirely different team.
That's great coaching, but they've done it for the last 20 years. So nobody's going to be surprised by that. It's the final week of the year. It's the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 53. New England Patriots, Los Angeles Rams for all of the marbles. We thought we'd throw out one final podcast, close out what has been an exciting year. We're sitting here really enjoying all of our trophies up on the mantle from the fantasy football season. So let's kick it off with a little bit of fantasy football thoughts and musings entering the final game. All right, Corey, one quarterback, pick 'em. Tom Brady, Jared Goff, standard PPR scoring this week.
It has to be Brady. I don't think there'll be a huge, you know, deviation between the two in fantasy points, but Brady has to be the guy. We've seen forever now how he just plays at a different level in the postseason. He has more postseason stats in so many categories than Goff has for a career right now.
I am totally on board with that. Running backs, give me two. We've got a lot of James White, Sony Michel, Todd Gurley, CJ Anderson.
Both Patriots running backs. I don't want anything to do with either Rams back in this game.
I'm getting scared. We're on the same page so far. All right, give me three of these wide receivers. Julian Edelman, Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, Chris Hogan, Philip Dorsett, Cordero Patterson, and Josh Reynolds.
Edelman, absolutely. Reynolds is probably an interesting wild card choice for me. I'm not a big fan of Robert Woods in this one. I think the way that they cover, you're probably going to see Stephon Gilmore on an island with Robert Woods, and then you're going to see the doubling of Brandon Cooks, kind of like how they handled the Chiefs last week. And Philip Dorsett, to me, is an interesting guy. I would take my chances that Dorsett finds a touchdown.
I'm on the other direction there for Patriots wide receivers, anyway, at least on that fringe one. I think Chris Hogan could be a surprise in this game. I'd pair him with Julian Edelman and Robert Woods. I don't think they're going to be able to completely contain Woods. I do think they shut down Cooks. And tight ends, give me one of this group.
None? Can I take none? I don't like any of them from either team this week, but...
Sure, 0 points for you. I mean, Gronk, Everett, and Higbee.
Like, if you absolutely have to, it's got to be Gronk. I just don't see him having a big role, probably something like 4 for 40. I'd be pretty surprised if he found the end zone.
I'm with Gronk, but I'm different than you. I think this is a game, with all the speculation that this could be his final game ever, that he elevates it. As long as he can stay on the field, we don't see any of these head-to-head hits that knock him out as we've seen previously. So, final kicker, Greg Zuerlein, Stephen Gostkowski.
Yeah, you know, this. I mean, it's a kicker, but I go back and forth on this one a lot because it's so dependent on the game flow. Zuerlein, as we saw last week, can hit from anywhere on the field. That game-winning kick looked like it could have been good from 70 yards. I would be pretty surprised if this came down to a field goal battle type game. So by a hair, I'm going to say Gostkowski.
I'm going Zuerlein in this. I think the typical bend but don't break Patriots defense puts the Rams in a situation where they're kicking a lot of field goals, at least early. A couple quick hits for you. Who scores first for the Rams?
Oh, I'm going to go with Todd Gurley, even though that's probably against my better judgment.
I think that this one is a field goal kick by Zuerlein. Who scores first for the Patriots?
Sony Michel.
James White, short touchdown catch. Surprise difference maker in this game, and I'm not talking, you know, Brady or Goff. Somebody that is a little bit more unheralded.
I'll go back to Philip Dorsett on that. There's going to be too much defensive attention on Edelman and Gronkowski and trying to keep those running backs in check. That Dorsett has the speed. He's become a better route runner this year. He seems to have Brady's trust in certain situations that we may not have seen even earlier in the year. I think Dorsett would be that guy, and then a really close second would have to be on the other side. Same concept, Reynolds. There'll be so much attention paid to Woods and Cooks, Gurley, even CJ Anderson, that, you know, if somebody's going to slip through the cracks, it's Reynolds.
For the Rams, I like Anderson. For the Patriots, and I know this will shock you, I like Cordarrelle Patterson. From a special team standpoint, I think this is going to be a really close game. I think he'll see a couple gimmick plays during the game offensively like we've seen. But I think this is a guy that could bust something big in the kick return game that can really give the Patriots the edge.
Give it up, man. Just give it up. He isn't the thing. He's never going to be a thing. Give it up. Even on special teams, he just isn't that good on special teams. He really isn't. I think he's way overrated on special teams. But anyway, go for it. You want the unsung player of this game and has nothing to do with fantasy? It's probably going to be Matthew Slater.
At least it's sticking with special teams. On February 3rd, there will be two types of fans. One who roots for teams and the others who cheer for the commercials. If you're in the second camp, or both, USA Today's ad meter is for you. So while you're chowing down on chicken wings with your best buds, grab your phones, go to admeter.usatoday.com and rate the 2019 Super Bowl commercials on a scale from 1 to 10. It's a battle to the top that everyone can be a fan of. Okay, Corey, rapid fire prop bets. Prop bets are just, everybody loves this during the Super Bowl, whether it's coin toss or, you know, is Belichick going to have his sleeves ripped off and show the muscles? Will he smile? That's the million-dollar question. Here's some cool ones from pointsbet.com. Purely for entertainment purposes only, of course. Tom Brady, will he throw for over 289.5 yards? Yes or no?
Yes, absolutely. He might even do that in the second half.
I think he might do it in the first half. No, that's going to be a reach and a half, but yes, definitely. Brady threw for over that in 8 games this year. That's 44%. That includes both playoff games. He's thrown for over that in 7 playoff games in a row, and 11 of his last 13 playoff games dating back to 2014. I think that's a lock. How about Goff? Will he throw for more than 285.5 yards?
Yeah, absolutely. I still think that's such a low number for both of those quarterbacks. I would take yes on both of those all day long.
Yeah, he did it in 50% of his games this year. I'm on the same side with you. James White, 6 receptions or more?
Or more? If it's or more...
Okay, the prop is, will he have over 6 receptions?
Over 6. Okay, if he's at over 6, I'm going to say no. If he's at 6 on the nose, I would say yes.
I think he does have more than 6 receptions. I think it's going to be very vital in getting rid of the football quickly to keep that defensive line off of Brady. So a lot of chuck downs. White had 7 or more catches in 9 games. That's 39%, including playoff games, for what it's worth. Todd Gurley, will he rush for over 64.5 yards?
Oh, this was my least favorite of the group. Normally you would say yes, absolutely, but after last week, or 2 weeks ago rather, in the last game, I should say, I would, it makes me really want to question this, but I'm going to say yes. 64.5 yards, it's just not a lot. I mean, like, realistically, it could even be a couple of long runs. He doesn't have to do anything on his other carries, and it's not that crazy. So I'm going yes, but if we were to put a cap on it, let's say 75 tops.
Total yards, I think 64.5 is easy for him
to hit. Total yards?
No, this is rush yards.
You threw me off for a second there. It's like, okay, sorry. Maybe I misheard you. Okay.
Sorry, I'm setting the table here. If it's total yards, I'd be on board. But because it's not, I think the Patriots are going to make Gurley the focal point to shut down offensively. Actually, CJ Anderson will come very close, if not outright rush for more yards than Gurley. I would avoid Gurley in that one. Gurley, for what it's worth, rushed for at least 65 yards in 56% of his games this year, including the playoffs. Okay, other side of the ball, Sonny Michel. Will he rush for over 77.5 yards?
I love the .5.
It makes a difference, you know.
No, he won't, but it's going to be super close. It'd be like 73, 75, somewhere in there. But no, I don't think he goes over 77.5.
Disagree. I think he goes over 100 in this one. He's had at least 78 yards in 7 games. That's 47% of the limited games that he had. And that also includes both playoff games. And the million-dollar question, Tom Brady, will he rush for over 1.5 yards in this game? He's got 1,000 in his career now.
I honestly, I was originally going to say no, but the more I thought about it was there'll be one play. There'll be just simply one play where it's like 3rd and 1,000,000 and Brady scrambles for like 4 yards.
I'm thinking 2 quarterback sneaks for 1 yard apiece. I'm giving it to him. He did rush for at least 2 yards in 8 games this year. That's 44%, but has not in his last 5, including the playoffs. Flip over to some wide receivers. Brandon Cooks, a little revenge game here after he played in the Super Bowl with the Patriots last year. Will he have a reception over 24.5 yards?
Yes, and I think it might be his only catch of the game.
Will he have over 5.5 receptions?
So no.
Easy setup for you. I'm torn on this one. I think no on both. Cooks had receptions greater than 24.5 yards in 10 of his games. That's 56%. And at least 6 receptions in 8 games, 44%, including the playoffs.
Well, let's not forget the familiarity here between the Patriots and Brandon Cooks. I mean, if any defense is going to know how to stop him, that's who you're looking at.
And they shut down a much better Tyreek Hill. On a side note, Cooks, according to Remarkable, had 22 receptions for 20-plus yards this season. That's tied for 5th best in the NFL. Julian Edelman, will he have a reception over 21.5 yards in this game?
I say no, but it could be really, really close. He'll probably have one catch that's like 19, 20, something like that.
Surprisingly to me, he had receptions greater than 21.5 yards in 7 games this year. How about 6.5 receptions? You taking the over or the under on that?
Over. I think he's like 9 or 10 catches easy.
I'd agree with that. He also had at least 7 catches in 7 games, 50% of his total gameplay so far this year, including both of his playoff games.
The only stat out of all of this that I've seen that really makes me question whether or not Edelman could have more than one big catch was, there was a stat that I found to be fascinating, was Tom Brady's averaged 9.5 yards per attempt in the 4th quarter this season, best of all quarterbacks who qualified. The league average is more than 2 full yards less than that. I mean, that is crazy if you actually think about it. Pushing the ball downfield that much. So if the game is in a scenario, like if I could put a caveat on that, like if you're the type of person who believes that the Patriots are just going to steamroll from the start and this isn't going to be a back and forth affair, I would take the under. But if it's a game where you think the Patriots absolutely are throwing the ball late into the game, yeah, I can realistically see that being over on 21.5 yards.
No, that's fair. I like him to be over on both. And as I said, I'm very surprised that in 50% of his games he was that, because you don't think of him in that role, but he's surprised at times this year.
A lot of deep crosses.
And he's played at a different level so far in the playoffs. This guy wants it. This team wants it. Rams receiver Robert Woods, we talked on him a little bit earlier. Does he have a reception over 22.5 yards?
I'm going no on that one as well.
I'd like him to. He did so in 50% of his games so far this season. How about 5.5 receptions or more? I'm sorry. Will he have over 5.5 receptions?
No, just under. It'd be like 4 or 5 catches, and I'm thinking he does like 50 or 60 yards.
Okay, we'll split there. I like him on both of those numbers. Gronk, you mentioned him earlier. Does he have a reception over 20.5 yards? Can he just rumble and tumble and bumble his way there?
Yeah, I mean, if they line him up out wide a lot, I could see it. And you saw that late in the game against the Chiefs. Once they flexed him out wide, he then was at his best. That's where I think he can do the most damage, and his size wins against the Rams in that sense. But will they? Or are they going to keep him in to block and keep him in to try and get that running game going, even if it's struggling? So long-winded answer is yes. But he, like I said, I don't know if he has more than 3 or 4 catches.
That was the next question. 3.5 catches. Are you taking the over or under?
See, that's right. That's why they do these 3.5s, people. I'm going with over, and it's going to be 4 catches.
I'm going to say under and no on the 20.5. I think they utilize him a lot more as a decoy down low and just a quiet chain mover. Whether you were rooting for teams or cheering for the commercials, log on to admeter.usatoday.com, where you can watch and rate Super Bowl ads before and during the big game. It's a battle to the top that everyone can be a fan of. All right, Corey, final segment, spreads, game predictions. Straight up, who wins, New England or Los Angeles?
The Patriots.
What are your goals for the game?
My goals for the game?
Would what for the Patriots for the Patriots to win this one?
Keys to winning? Yeah. It's like my goals for the game. I'm going to sit around, maybe have a beer and eat some food.
All right, let's reboot that. What are your keys to the game for New England to do such?
Control the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. play, like you said, that bend but don't break defense, which means doubling Brandon Cooks, keeping him from going over the top, being comfortable giving up a lot of underneath work, being comfortable making Goff march the field, as long as they can do that without giving up the big plays and having Brady to come from behind a bunch. And look, he's done it a million times. We've seen it, but nobody in that franchise wants it to play out that way. Sure, is there anyone else you'd rather have with the football with 2 minutes left and down by 4 or 6 or something like that? Probably not. But do you realistically, if you're the Patriots, want it to even come close to that? No, absolutely you don't. So control the ball, run the ball effectively would be important to them, and keep the Rams offense on the sidelines as much as you can. And then figure out how to stop Aaron Donald without investing multiple blockers on him on every single play.
Well, it has been tough getting to Brady this year. He's been clean in 2 postseason games. On the year, he was pressured on 17.3% of his passes. That's 5th lowest in the league. He's only been hit on 6.2% of dropbacks. That's 4th best in the league. And side note, you know, according to Remarkable, he's got 51 games where he's thrown 10 plus passes of 10 yards or less. That's getting rid of the football quickly. I think that helps nullify anything that Aaron Donald can do. Granted, he's probably the most disruptive defensive player in the game today on the defensive line, but I'm in agreement with you. I think the Patriots win. You've got to limit the big plays for the Rams, who were tied for a league best with 57 receptions of 20 plus yards this year. And you noted that on Brady earlier this year, 9.5 yards per attempt. That's just crazy. Totally different game. But final point, you got to get Goff in the mistakes. He fumbled 12 times this year and was tied for most amongst quarterbacks in the league. Make the game too big for him. He's just in his 3rd year. We've seen him look really good sometimes and really bad others. And when Belichick has 2 weeks to scheme against a player, I like the way that works out for the New England defense because, you know, they don't have the personnel to get after him on outright pass rushes. They're going to have to confuse him and make plays. Okay, I need your score now. The spread is 2.5 points. Patriots favored. Who do you like?
New England 30, Rams 24.
Ooh. I'm at 34, New England, 32, Rams. We're in the same ballpark, but we're going different directions on the spread. And then over-under on the game is 56 points. I'm obviously taking the over on that. Because I suck at math, I think you're on the under, but just close.
Just 2 points shy of it. 2 points shy of it.
All right, Corey. It's going to be a fun, interesting game. I'm very excited to see Tom Brady win yet another Super Bowl. It's going to be close. Field goal right at the end seals it for New England. Although I do have to say, one stat I saw that really surprised me, Rams are 18-0 since the beginning of last year when they're leading at the end of the first half. That's best in the NFL. So if the Rams have the lead, Patriots are going to have another record that they have to break.
Isn't Tom Brady like 75-1 when he's leading by 2 touchdowns at the end of the first half? So that probably is an important key that we really didn't touch on, is which team does jump out to that early lead.
And we've seen the script do it so far. They came out and did very well the last 2 games. And that'll wrap it up for the football season. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. It is fantasy baseball season, though. As soon as the Super Bowl is done, head over to baseballhq.com. Start thinking about your fantasy baseball season. Start setting your draft board. For nearly 3 decades, baseballhq.com has been helping fantasy sports players just like you become champions. This year, it's your turn. Visit baseballhq.com now. Use the code HUDDLE19. That's HUDDLE19. And take $10 off baseballhq.com's draft prep package. Thanks for hanging out with us. Enjoy the big game. He's Corey Bonini. I'm Ryan Bonini. We'll catch you this offseason.